Stop. ASMR Oreos.
Stop. People are going to know.
Did you guys know that Oreos are vegan?
I didn't. Wendy just told me that, and I had no idea. That's are they hearsay. Really?
I mean, there's no meat.
That's not... Did you guys know that Oreos are vegetarian?
No. They're vegan.
Are you done eating those?
No.
Open them back up.
Guys, I got bad news.
What's your bad news?
Well, I have good news and bad news. What do you want first? The good news is we're back. The bad news is Jack's not here.
Yeah, he's not.
There's more good news, though. Mm. I found these Oreos in the cupboard, but
they
you knew that.
Taste a little old, but it's
not. Oh my god, are they expired?
Don't close it again. Because welcome back to the Bug in a Rug podcast.
This is the grossest episode yet because you can hear me chewing.
As always, I'm Caitlin.
As usual, I'm Whitney.
Today, we have another listener-suggested topic.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. It is from Carly.
Oh, thanks, Carly.
Thanks, Carly, for sending this in. It is the story of... the Wendigo.
Oh, Winnebagos.
Wendigo.
That's a car, right?
Okay, first of all, Winnebagos are like the campers.
Oh, okay, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
In Europe, Oreos are not vegan as they contain whey. I guess like whey protein. In the U.S., they are generally held to be vegan, but some sugar suppliers may refine their sugar with bone char.
Ew.
What is that?
This also said... according to the Oreo FAQ page, Oreos have milk as cross-contact and therefore are not suitable for vegans. So you just lied to our entire
what's
audience.
What's cross-contact?
I don't know. But if you're going to talk with your mouth full this whole episode...
You told me I could eat Oreos while we recorded.
You can, but I'd rather you not...
Are Oreos poisonous? No, Oreos are not poisonous. If you get sick while eating them, it's likely that you're allergic to one or more ingredients.
I hate this.
You want to start...
Wendigos.
Winnebagos.
Have you heard of them?
I've heard of Winnebagos.
If you say Winnebago one more time...
I'm trying to relate it to what
I
know. I
will throw an Oreo at you.
I have. Oh, no, you have some. No, I have not heard of Wendigos.
Wendigos. You haven't heard of them?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, the stories of the Wendigo are thought to originate from Algonquin Native American folklore. So, for those of you who don't know, because I did not know, Algonquin refers to tribes who spoke the language, but they weren't necessarily, it wasn't necessarily like one specific area.
Okay.
So, there were tribes in Canada, the New England area, the Mid and South Atlantic and Long Island area, the Midwest, the Upper West, and the Western United States.
Oh, wow.
So, I bring this up because... they all had stories of the Wendigo, but they're not all exactly the same.
Hmm.
So they're very similar because they had similar cultures, but it wasn't exactly the same because they were so dispersed throughout the United
that
States and Canada.
Okay.
So the one main thing that these stories center around is the real fears of exposure and starvation.
Oh, those are naked and afraid fears.
Not all of them. I feel like naked and afraid's always like hot, deserty.
Well, exposure to the elements.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, this more refers to winter.
Hmm,
and like
okay.
Snow and the cold.
Okay.
But we'll get into that. So the word Wendigo actually means evil spirit that devours mankind. It later got translated to just mean cannibalism.
Whoa, okay.
You know, something along those lines.
Eating humans. Something that eats humans.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So the most common origin story describes a hunter getting lost in the woods during a brutally cold winter. An intense hunger drove the hunter to cannibalism. Once he had finished eating another human's flesh, he transformed into a crazed man-beast. This transformation prompted the man to continue roaming the forest in search of more human flesh. This man and all others who became a Wendigo have a hunger that can never be satisfied. In fact, some stories claim that these creatures grow bigger every time that they eat a meal, which causes them to never be full. So if they eat a 150-pound human, they actually grow 150 pounds.
But then they're that much more hungry because they have that much more.
Right. So it's not that they ate it and went in their stomach and got full. They just, that just makes them bigger. And so they're still hungry. So they roam eternally through the forest looking for their next meal.
I think that's probably the worst. Satisfied. One of the worst curses I can think of is eternal hunger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It sounds terrible.
I'd have to give up these Oreos there.
You would. You would have to give up all the candy I eat on the podcast.
To be fair, this is like the first real snackums that I've
had
during
recording. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true.
I'll try to be good.
Although this is the origin story, it doesn't really go into much detail about what the Wendigo looks like. So in the beginning, it was often described as a demonic entity with no physical form that would basically possess the human.
Okay.
And then the human would become monstrous.
Okay.
But then descriptions changed to that of a more beast-like creature that had a physical form. And then it would turn the person into the beast-like creature as well, that it could.
Okay,
So there's a couple of different stories, and we'll get into it. But in general, the Wendigo is sometimes described as an ape, a human, or a humanoid creature with that of with the head of a deer or wolf. So there's a lot of descriptions. Most of the pictures you will see is like a humanoid body with the head of a deer.
Which makes so much sense because deer eat meat all the time.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think it's more of like, because it's supposed to be in the forest, so I think it's supposed to be like resemble like a forest spirit sort of thing. An evil forest spirit. So that's where the head of the deer came from.
Okay.
So the creature is normally known for being almost 15 feet tall, but it's extremely emaciated. And no matter what like form it is in, if it's a human, it's skinny, looking like almost like a corpse or a zombie. If it's the head of a deer, the body is humanoid, has very long arms. You can often see rib cage, like it's missing parts of it because it's like a corpse come back to life. Very skinny, but that goes along with it's never full. It's always starving, essentially.
Is she playing with
Ellie's trying to get a Christmas ball.
My back is to her. And I literally heard the sound of her claws on a Christmas bulb.
Oh, yeah, she's going at it.
I tried to tell you.
She's not really working that hard, but she's trying. I'll see if she gets it off.
My Christmas tree will be the first one knocked over.
Because I don't have any of the Christmas balls. I think she sees the shiny, you know what I mean? I don't really have any. Uh-oh. I spoke too soon. She walked over towards mine. So Basil Johnston is a teacher and scholar in Ontario, Canada. He teaches about a type of indigenous peoples, OJIBWE.
Okay.
So he has actually one of the more famous outlines of the Wendigo, and this one I actually saw a lot of places in all my resources. So he says, quote, "The Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emaciation, its desiccated skin pulled tautly over its bones. With its bones pushing out against its skin, its complexion the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into their sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody. Its body was unclean and suffering from suppurations of the flesh, giving off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption." So it's not something that you want to tangle with.
Well, no, it'll eat me.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. So although there are different descriptions of it, there are things that are always, that are in common in all stories. It always has glowing eyes. It usually has long yellow fangs, terrible claws, an overly long tongue, and some type of matted fur, whether that be fur all over the body or just like hair.
Okay. Creepy.
Yeah. It's not cute. I don't think we can find it a boyfriend like we did the lizard man.
Yeah. We weren't necessarily successful in that, but
yeah,
we sure wanted to help.
So the description is not pleasant, but the abilities of the Wendigo are downright terrifying. So they are said to be exceptionally strong, immune to harsh weather. There are stories where they even have power over the weather and can cause ice storms or ice tornadoes. They have heightened senses, have the power to regenerate. They can also mimic a person's voice, and in some cases can control creatures of the forest. So that gets back to they're kind of a forest spirit that is in touch with ailments.
This is a very powerful being in all, I'm assuming in all tales that,
yeah,
that of it, it seems to be very powerful and definitely not something you'd want to come across.
No. So basically everywhere I read, it's kind of funny because a lot of places were like, we don't have many stories of encounters because no one survives.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Okay. So it's like, oh, okay. So what they think happens if you encounter the Wendigo, at first it would begin with a whisper of your name calling you into the forest. So they would often use shrieks, growls, or voices to put one on edge. Because remember, they can mimic voices. Mm-hmm. So they would mimic those of you know to call you into the woods. Hmm. Eventually, one would be driven mad and go into the forest to try and figure out what is happening. Or they would be worried about the people that they heard and go into the forest. So with the Wendigo's heightened speed and senses, it would stalk its victims until it strikes, savagely consuming the individual. If a person does happen to survive, it is said that their minds become completely vacant of all thought and will be driven to insanity.
Woo!
So, it says that the Wendigo will eat its victims, or some think that the Wendigo can create other Wendigos.
Hmm.
So one can either eat human flesh and become one, or the spirit or creature, whichever you think it is, calls you into the forest and instead of eating you, could create one.
Interesting. So it's not like in the case of some other cryptids that we hear about where there just seems to be one that they see multiple times.
Right.
This is there are multiple of them.
Mm-hmm. Or there could be.
Or there could be.
Or there could be one at any time, because it's even like if you go and eat a person, that could drive you to
become this being.
And it's even said that it doesn't even have to be that you eat someone. Very rarely, but some places said that some believed that if you become so greedy, you could become a Wendigo, because the whole point is their greed for human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Greedy people are never satisfied. Yeah. So, you know,
it's very much like gluttony.
Yes, that is part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about that a little bit later.
No,
you're fine. That's part of it. That kind of goes along with people who think it is real and people who also think that it's just kind of a metaphor.
Hmm. Okay.
So one of the most famous stories of a person who became a Wendigo is that of Swift Runner. He was a Plains Cree trapper from Alberta who traded with the Hudson Bay Company. So he was part of the Cree
people.
A little later, he served as a guide for the Northwest Mounted Police. So he was married and had 6 children.
Wow.
During the winter of 1878 and 1879, Swift Runner and his family were in harsh weather conditions as well as other peoples of the tribe. So many of those individuals were in need of food. However, since he had worked or traded with the Hudson Bay Company, many people thought that he could easily get there and get supplies or have them bring supplies or have them meet him somewhere.
Okay.
Because he had connections and it mm-hmm. wasn't super far away.
Right.
So the winter was brutal, and many tribes were in need of help. Not many people knew what happened to these individuals during the winter, but Swift Runner emerged in 1979 back to a town that he was visited often. So he claimed that his family had died of starvation, but the police at Fort Saskatchewan were suspicious because they said, like, you had a chance to go. Like, it wasn't that far away. You had connections mm-hmm. to get food. That's interesting. So Swift Runner looked perfectly healthy with no signs of hunger. And so they went to his home to investigate. And they found the bones of his family picked clean of meat, some with the marrow hollowed out. When confronted, Swift Runner admitted to eating his family.
Wow. Oh, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
So there's another story.
Is this a true... Is that a true story? Or is it like a legend?
He's a real person.
Ooh.
So, I have another story that I can read of someone becoming a Wendigo. I put it at the end, though. In 1920, a young doctor and his wife had moved to Fort Kent during the war from England. He started up an in-home practice to help the people of Fort Kent, since the Cold Lake Air Force and weapons base was only 20 minutes away. So he would help those people from mm-hmm. the base. His practice was successful until a swarm of rats came into the town carrying a plague of smallpox and infected half of the town with this plague.
Oof.
The doctor treated these people but couldn't do any more as he knew they were going to die. I don't think he had the supplies or resources.
Well, there's not much smallpox. You could have done with smallpox. Right. Yeah.
So unfortunately, the doctor's wife happened to get the plague, and when she died, he locked himself in his house, not accepting any patients, and he built a shrine with his wife's lifeless body.
Mm.
As the Indians of the area have warned people in this town about the spirit of the Wendigo, which preys on weak souls, possesses them, and when such a thing possesses you, you tend to crave and eat the flesh of your own beings. Humans. The doctor became insane, and the townsfolk didn't know the doctor's wife had passed away. The doctor slowly invited one person after another to his home, killed them, and ate them. Once the townspeople started to notice more and more people were going missing, they were suspect of him. So the doctor went on a rampage of the town of Fort Kent. He killed and ate all but 11 people in 1921. He ate their flesh and left a pile of bones. In 1921, it was recorded that 150 people had lived here and no one had seen the doctor. It's told that he ran off into the woods, leaving everything in his home behind, and that he was possessed by the Wendigo. The townsfolk of Fort Kent say that you can hear him screeching with laughter at night in the woods.
Oof. So wait, how many people were there to begin with? Or we don't know.
So it says that it was recorded that 150 people had lived here.
So then he ate all but 11.
Yeah. Or something
Holy
like that.
Holy cow.
So again...
Which, I mean, who knows how many people died from smallpox,
yeah.
to be fair.
Yeah.
So he probably... Okay, so they said over half the town died from smallpox. So what, 75 people were left?
Yeah.
And then he eats... all but 11, plus probably him and his wife. Well, his wife died.
Yeah.
So probably all but 12 people.
Yeah.
So we're talking like, what, 63 people?
Now, I don't know, again, I don't know if these are necessarily true or if they're just legends, but, I mean, I don't want them to be true.
There's probably some truth to it.
Yeah. It's a real place. It might have been a real person.
I kind of believe the other story
of Swift Runner.
Yeah. A little more just because it's a lot of 63-ish yeah. people is a lot of people before somebody yeah. notices what's
well,
going on.
Well, it also
on.
Didn't say a timeline.
True.
So, you know. Well, I guess it said in 1921. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, I thought it was a creepy story.
It is.
So, various tribes would perform ceremonial dances featuring Wendigos to keep them away. That was kind of their way to...
It's like paying homage to them
right,
so that they'll...
stay away.
Yeah.
If the Wendigos still got too close, many say that they can be killed by using silver weapons. The creature should be... if you're ever in contact with Wendigo, which some people... Like, there's a way to kill them, quote-unquote. And then some people are like, yeah, but you still go insane.
Because you've survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if you want to try and kill it, though, the creature should be stabbed in the heart because the heart is made of ice and will break. So if you stab it with silver in the heart, that's one of the things. You stab in the heart and it will die.
Okay.
Another one is you should stab it in the heart and it will disappear and you'll collect the pieces of the heart, break it into tiny pieces, lock it in a silver box, bury that box in a church's cemetery.
Okay.
That's another one. Another one is that you stab in the heart, you take the heart out, break the heart into a million pieces, put it in a silver box, bury that box, lock it, bury that box in a church cemetery, and then you basically set the remaining body on fire. Because Wendigos, one of their powers is they're regenerative, so a lot of people say you have to take care of it all. And then another one is to just set the Wendigo on fire.
Alive?
Yeah.
Oh,
just get really close to set the whole body on fire.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's some options for you if you ever encounter one.
This is very, like, mixture between a vampire and a werewolf in a way.
So a lot of people compare it to Bigfoot as, like, the cryptid side of it. And then they also compare it to a werewolf as you have to kill it with silver. People can transform into it. You know. Similar details in that sense.
The vampire, I'm thinking because they kill people, stake through the heart.
That's true.
If you're considering Twilight, which probably isn't the best vampire lore, but...
What am I? Say it.
Out loud.
Out loud. Vampire. Here's my audition for Twilight.
You probably get it over Kristen Stewart. Anyway, but you have to set him on fire, rip him into pieces and set him on fire, and also... They, like, really can't really be killed otherwise. Like, they regenerate. Yeah.
So, since I watch Supernatural on this all the time, which, the Wendigo was on Supernatural, and they just shot a flare into it, it hit its heart and caught it on fire. But basically, a lot of the creatures that they kill, whether it be to get rid of ghosts or other creatures, they burn the body just so it can't come back.
Yeah, so I think that seems to be any supernatural creature.
Yeah,
according to legend, tends to have
you have to get rid of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, a shaman named Jack Fiddler supposedly used some methods to kill 14 Wendigos during his lifetime.
Wow, that's impressive.
Sounds like it.
Oh, no. Okay, continue.
So he was a member of the Sandy Lake First Nation called ZHAUWUNA-GEEZHIGO-GAUBOW.
I have no idea.
Me neither. But he was a member of this in the late 19th century and the early 20th century. And he basically boasted about how he could kill Wendigos. And so people would call upon him to, if they felt like they had the curse over them, to kind of, I guess, exorcise them of the Wendigo spirit.
Okay.
Or if they thought someone they knew was being taken over by the Wendigo spirit. Whether that be family,
who
friend.
Who are you going to call?
Jack Fiddler. So, this was, like, a really popular thing. Like, he was a popular guy to go to. But into the 20th century, the Canadian government kind of got involved and got wind of what he was doing, and they began an investigation. So, the Canadian government discovered that a woman was strangled to death in order to pull the Wendigo spirit out of her. Whether that be true or not, it's not a method listed to killing a Wendigo. So Jack and his brother Joseph, who had helped him with some of these Wendigo killings, were promptly charged with murder.
Oofa doofa.
Jack actually escaped from jail and committed suicide, while his brother Joseph died in jail just 3 days before news of his pardon.
Wow.
I don't know how. Didn't have details about that. So.
Whoa.
So many people thought the Wendigos were real, whether mm-hmm. spirit or beast form. However, as European settlers came to Canada and the United States, they didn't really believe. So many people believe that, like, the Canadian government was like, this just isn't true. You're just telling people. So many people believe that Wendigo stories were just told to kind of create myth and to scare younger generations to be wary of real life problems, like being too greedy or being gluttonous or being selfish or violent. Or cannibalism. Or even being a cannibal. Don't eat people.
I mean, that's
that one I think should be straightforward.
Harsh
but
way to say it, but they're not wrong.
So Basil Johnston, once again, the guy who told the first description of the Wendigo that we talked about, said that, quote, "The idea of turning Wendigo is a very real possibility when the word refers to self-destruction rather than literally becoming a monster." So he thought that maybe it was stories about, you know, how there's stories about all different kinds of things. Don't go into the woods or the witch
like
will get you.
Like a metaphor kind of a thing.
Yeah, like don't go in. Yeah,
or
exactly.
Or a wives' tale.
Right, right. So on this note, many anthropologists believe that the concept of a Wendigo developed after the native people had contact with the Europeans. So whether that be they thought that the Europeans were greedy or gluttonous in that sort of way, or a loss in translation. So there is thought that the Native American word for, quote, fool was translated as ghoul, thus creating the Wendigo. So like a literal monster. So they could have been like, these European settlers are greedy and selfish. They're such fools. Don't be like them. But then it translated to, don't be like these ghouls.
Like as in a literal monster.
Like as in a literal monster. So that could have been, you know, where it changed.
That is plausible.
Yeah. And so this is also backed up because Native American tribes were under a lot of stress during this time. Because they're facing new settlers and facing each other, tensions between land, food, you know, that sort of thing. So some people think that that's kind of where it came from.
That makes sense.
And then it
kind
of just evolved into a, you know, monster. Literal monster. Yeah. Yeah. So despite this, there is actually a psychological condition called Wendigo psychosis. So Wendigo psychosis, it is argued whether it is real or not.
Okay.
But the description of Wendigo psychosis is someone is diagnosed, couldn't think of the word, with Wendigo psychosis when the individual believes that the spirit of Wendigo has possessed them. So the main symptom is intense craving for human flesh, whether they think they're a Wendigo or not. However, this condition occurs when the person doesn't need to eat human flesh, which, like, you never do, but they're more saying, like, they're not on a deserted island and they have no food.
Right.
And the one person died, so to survive, they turn to cannibalism. They're saying that, like, they're just hungry and are eating people. For no reason. And they're in, like, a big city. Kind of thing.
So, like, literal cannibalism.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, many people are like, okay, maybe that's what they were referring to. People just went crazy. So, I thought this was very interesting. There were Jesuit missionaries that traveled through New France, which is now Montreal, Quebec, and regions of the United States acquired during the Louisiana Purchase. So they traveled through this area in the 1600s in hope of teaching indigenous people about Catholicism.
Right.
In a book that they published about the travels called Relations de Jesuites de la Nouvelle France, or called The Jesuit Relations. There is a passage that is incredibly interesting.
Hmm.
So the passage describes a group of men that were supposed to meet with the priests. So this is from the book.
Right.
Quote, "The men were so ravenous for human flesh that they pounce upon women, children, and even upon men, like veritable werewolves, and devour them voraciously without being able to appease or glut their appetite, ever seeking fresh prey, and the more greedily, the more they eat. This ailment attacked our deputies, and as death is the sole remedy among these simple people for checking such acts of murder, they were slain in order to stay the course of their madness."
Wow.
So people thought that this could be an example of Wendigo psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no reason to eat people.
Right.
But according to this, they did.
They did, and they were unable to control themselves mm-hmm. from doing so. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually really, that's very fascinating because that book is their documentation of yes. their journey, supposedly, so that supposedly they actually came across this.
Yes.
And
just like a journal, I guess.
Right. With or without ever hearing what a Wendigo was beforehand.
Right. And now this, again, is, I believe, a translation.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be the wrong translation, but how would you get it that wrong?
I think from Native American into English, from a Native American dialect into English would be a harder translation mm-hmm. and more easily messed up.
Yeah.
Especially if they saw it with their own eyes.
This is a pretty long not a huge passage, but it's a whole paragraph. So to get a whole paragraph, I could see one word, but to get a whole paragraph wrong.
Yeah.
That seems quite mm-hmm. not possible.
It seems like they saw it themselves. I don't know that they were told about it from someone else.
Right, I don't think like so. They were supposed to be there, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. So, while sightings have declined sharply since the beginning of the 20th century, there are still reports coming in that people have seen Wendigos. These mainly surround Kenora, Ontario, Canada, where there is the Cave of the Wendigo. And there are also sightings in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Very few, though. There are lakes named after the Wendigo in Minnesota and Wisconsin. But this Kenora, Ontario, Canada, has become known as the Wendigo capital of the world.
Oof.
That's pretty much all I got. I got some fun facts.
Wait, left you have fun facts?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, so first of all, because before you get into that, I like this a lot. I'm very creeped out.
Yeah.
Just by how kind of realistic it is, because I mean cannibalism itself is I believe a type of illness in a way. At least in movies it's portrayed as once you do it once you can't help it.
Yeah, that's true.
Or you always crave it.
I always think of it as a survival, because mm-hmm. I don't know, there's stories of people getting lost at sea and then
right.
they have to draw straws, someone has to die, they eat the person, whatever. But for the Wendigo psychosis was very interesting to me, because that is when they're like you're saying, like, they don't have to eat these people.
They just
choose to.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So.
Which is like what? The Hills Have Eyes or whatever? I've not actually seen it, but there are.
Silence of the Lambs doesn't eat people? Someone does.
He wants to wear their skin. I don't know if he actually wants to eat. No, he does. Cannibal Lecter wants to eat people.
Yeah, yeah, because he bites that guy's face at the end.
Yeah,
they're friends. He's like,
No, you're right, though. But, he doesn't have to survive.
Right.
He chooses to, and it's portrayed as a mental illness.
Well, they're calling they're calling this a psychological condition, so.
No, and I'm agreeing. I think that it is interesting to me that it is portrayed in folklore the same as it is in how we view it today.
Yeah.
Even though you just think, something movie's made up. But really, back until before settlers came, the mm-hmm. native peoples were viewing cannibalism in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's why it's kind of a question to whether what were they talking about cannibalism? And they were just saying, don't do it. Like, it was a metaphor. Mm-hmm. Or is it actually a real demonic entity?
Or a mix of both.
Or, you know what I mean? Or a mix of both, yeah. Or is it someone went crazy and they're like, they ate someone and ran into the woods and they're like, oh my God, don't go to the woods because that guy's going to eat you. You know what I mean? It could have been that, too.
Yeah. And then as the story's passed down, it becomes more of a lesson that you learn.
More of, yeah, and like a more of a creature rather than a spirit or person. So, I don't know.
Also, people are the real monsters.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the story goes, the origin story goes that it was one guy that ate somebody and he became one. So, I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, fun facts.
So, spoiler alert to anybody who hasn't seen these movies or read the books, because I haven't. I just have a couple. So, the first one I already kind of talked about. The Wendigo has appeared as a creature in Supernatural, which I love, and Charmed. Mm-hmm. Other ones, but those are like the two main ones that people talk about. Mm-hmm. It's also featured in games such as Until Dawn and Fallout 76. I think I read that Until Dawn, it's like one of the main antagonists, and then Fallout 76, it's just like a side. But I don't know.
That's
I haven't played
the new one that's based in West Virginia.
Yeah, and it has all the legends and stuff.
Yeah, so. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, a cartoon Wendigo was created to be an antagonist in the 70s Marvel comics, specifically to go against the Hulk and Wolverine. So, I thought that was really interesting. And finally, my third fun fact. In the book Pet Sematary, which I've not read or seen, but I want to now, the spirit of the Wendigo is actually what drives the actions of the characters, because in the book, it's a Wendigo that curses the cemetery that the main character, the dad, buries the cat and then his son to bring them back to life. Because in this and some other stories, the Wendigo has, since he has the power of regeneration and things like that, it is thought that he's also holds domain over life necromancy. Yeah, life and death, bringing people back to life. I mean, that would make sense if he can. I mean, if the guy turned to cannibalism turned into one, or if he can turn people into Wendy. You know what I mean? So, it is thought that he also has that power, and so that kind of really fell hard into the Pet Sematary book.
I never knew that. I haven't watched them, and I haven't read the book.
Well, I don't think that it was shown in the book, or shown in the movies. This was specifically the book.
Interesting.
I don't know about the movies.
That's crazy.
I thought that was really, that's what I was talking about when you were studying. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. But I thought that was really, I mean, they're seen in a lot of, there were others too, obviously, but, I thought that was really cool.
I find it more convincing when stories of cryptids or beings, paranormal, supernatural, whatever you want to call it, beings like the Wendigo, when they're weaved into so many different societies over vast amounts of time.
Yeah.
That it's almost like, well, how did all these people come up with the same idea?
Yeah.
And describe it so similarly over time.
Right.
Without it being a real thing. Or something that at least somebody experienced one time so vividly that they were able to pass it on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's... that's why I find cryptids very fascinating, but I think... Because this falls more into the category of myth or legend, because people were basically saying, well, if you don't think it's an actual creature, and it's more of like, if you eat someone, you'll go crazy, or if you have too much greed, you'll go crazy, or then it's more of like a myth or legend kind of deal.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I think I find these more interesting, which I know I tend to do, but because I like the history of it, and I find that fascinating, and the stories that go along with that. So I know this kind of turns into a history of spooky things podcast.
But I mean, that's the thing that I find interesting too, because I mean, if we just read a spooky story That's fine, but anybody can do that.
The problem with this, too, though, is that, again, a lot of people were like, there are no stories because no one survives. You know what I mean? That's why I couldn't find anything. So it's tough to find stories of real-world encounters with the Wendigo. And they're like pictures, quote-unquote. But they don't look real to me. So, but just the thought of it, like, the history of it makes it more interesting to me because, like, this is absolutely, like, a real thing in people's minds that they used to believe, at least. So, in some way, it has to be true.
Yeah.
Whether that be a real creature or it was really told as a story to tell kids.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, somewhere, at some point, there was a person who ate somebody else and... they were called a monster by their people.
Yeah.
And then no matter what happened to them, whether they became a Wendigo or that's just what they were called by those people.
They were outcast because of that.
Right. They were still, it still had to start there. Like there's nothing else that could have.
Right. Right. And that's why I think it's so, because I feel like I like cryptids, but the cryptids are just like, oh, they saw this guy one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's really no background as to why, and I like the background as to why.
No,
I think that to me is more, gives it more legs to stand on, so it's a little more creepy to me.
I'm thoroughly creeped out by this one. So, I won't lie to you.
Since you're creeped, are you gonna? And by the way, I should have said this at the beginning. I thought this was a proper Christmassy winter story because they're known to stalk people in cold weather. And I sent a picture to Jack of one of the pictures that I like, and he said it looks like a reindeer. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, that's the Wendigo.
That's the Wendigo.
So, anyway, will you, after listening to the story, will you stay up at night thinking about the little whispers of your name that are going to be coming through your window? Whitney, come out to the woods. There's no woods around here. Come out to the forest. It's me, Kaylin. But it's not? Or are you still sleeping snugs, bug and rug?
I think I'm more creeped out by the idea of Wendigo psychosis.
Yeah, because that's like a legit... I mean, whether you think about it as that or just cannibals, that's a real thing.
I mean, there are parts of this that are absolutely... Cannibals are real things. Like, there's no denying that. And that's a real thing that happens. So the fact that it's grounded in truth makes me much more creeped out.
Yeah.
I didn't take a nap today, so I'll probably sleep all right, but I'm already dreaming about it.
Yeah. So, two things. One, I think it's also featured in Scary Stories to Tell in Dark. Don't know which one. Read that. And two, this kind of reminds me of that, you know, those short stories that's like short stories and like however many words?
Yeah, like
a Scary Stories with like how many words?
Two sentences. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's the one where like, let me find it really quick.
Is it a Wendigo? Or is it a little boy?
It's about someone mimicking voices.
The scariest one to me is the one about the little boy under the bed.
The little boy in the bed.
Do you not know what I'm talking about?
No.
That's the only one I ever remember. It's like, dad comes in his son's room, and his son says, Dad, I'm really scared there's something under my bed. And the dad looks under the bed and he sees his son and he says, Dad, I'm really scared there's something on top of my bed.
That's this one. That's the one I'm talking about. It says, a girl heard her mom yell her name from downstairs, so she got up and started to head down. As she got to the stairs, her mom pulled her into her room and said, I heard that too.
Ooh.
That's freaking out. I just got cold chills thinking about that. Could you imagine, though, if you were, like, in here and you heard me calling you to, like, come outside or something, like, the window's open, and you're like, no, like, you're in your bedroom.
That'd be really freaky. Yeah.
I know. What if it's a Wendigo? I don't think you'd come here. There's no woods.
We have secret words, though.
Yeah. You would call that outside.
No, but I wouldn't expect you to be calling for me unless you were saying that.
Hey, mom, make green beans.
Okay.
That's not it.
That's not it. No, we can't say it out loud now.
It should be, which we can't because we use it too much, but wouldn't it be funny? It was like, does that feel good?
Ah. you haven't seen the vine. Peanut it's not bacon. Even a vine, is it?
Yeah. The green beans one is a vine.
No, I'm talking about the peanut butter
baby. Peanut butter baby is a vine.
This mom, like, walks into the kitchen and her, like, 3-year-old has covered the, like, 1-year-old in peanut butter.
Yeah. And the baby's, like, loving it.
And she's like, does that feel good? And the baby goes,
loves it.
And the number of times a day where one of us goes, ah, and the other one goes, does that feel good? And then we both go, ah. It's just really ridiculous.
I love it. We
do it in public, too, and I know no one knows what we're talking about, but that's okay.
That's okay. That's all right. All right, well.
Anyway, thank you so much to Carly for sending this in. This was a really good one. I definitely was creeped out through most of it.
Yeah.
You did a really good job of researching it.
Thanks.
And thank you for.
Sorry if it teetered more on the history side of it. I just thought it was so interesting.
I like that part. And it was still creepy. So it was like a good mix of.
Both. History and.
Creepstery.
We'll workshop it.
Hysterepy.
That sounds like hysterectomy.
Spookstery. That's a completely different
we'll
thing.
We'll workshop it. Completely Thanks different. To Carly. I didn't look at those iTunes reviews. I'm a dummy. I'm a hot mess.
We made it through almost this entire thing without a cat on the table.
And now there's a cat on the table.
Although I really hope you can hear him howl in the background.
I think it showed up.
Ow. Is that a Wendigo?
Ah. No, we don't have new ratings. Okay.
Oh my god!
Stop. If you guys liked this episode, let us know.
Share it with your friends.
You can tell us. You can tweet at us. You can Instagram message us or comment. Or you can reach out to us on Facebook. On Facebook, you just got to search Bug in a Rug.
Twitter and Instagram are at BIAR Podcast.
If you have a suggestion, you can send it to any of those, as well as our email, BIARpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find all the resources that I used for this at our website, buginarug.podbean.com. I do have all the ones I used, plus the translation of that Jesuit, the whole thing. So if you just, like, control F. I control F searched ravenous, and it popped up. I thought that would be a word they wouldn't use, like, many times.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to start going through articles online and searching for ravenous too and see how much Wendigo stuff I come up with. Anyway, thank you to Caitlin for putting up with me saying Winnebago every time she said Wendigo for the first 10 minutes of us trying to record this podcast.
Hate it so much.
We'll see how much she leaves in and how much she cuts out. Wink, wink. Also, remember, holy cow, what is he doing? Cooper was aggressively licking his back leg. I was very concerned. Anyway, remember, if you leave us a rating or a review on Facebook or iTunes, and then screenshot that review and send it to our email or any of our direct messaging areas on social media, then we will send you a free sticker.
Yes.
I think we've sent all the ones out right now except for Aunt Pam.
Sorry, Aunt Pam, we forgot yours. We'll bring it to Christmas.
It's literally right here. I'm staring at it.
Oh, God, we forgot. We felt really bad. We'll get it to you sometime.
But, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We hope that you enjoy this episode. We hope that you don't stay up too much at night thinking about cannibals / Wendigos.
Okay. Absolutely don't think about eating another person.
Not even for a second?
No.
Just a little nibble nibs.
No, once you go there, the Wendigo spirit can crack you.
Wait, as soon as you think about it? What if I lick somebody?
No. Absolutely not.
I didn't say you. Anyway. I hope that after listening, you're still able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug.
Signing off, I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Whitney.
Bye.
Sleep tight.